Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when I am moving down the altar rail, placing communion wafers into your hands, I come across a child or two who have obviously been working very hard in church school. A toddler will have paint on the sleeve of her dress, or a little boy will have orange and blue marker scribbled on the palms of his hands. Or a first grade girl will have glitter glue all over her fingers and her fingernails. The child will lift up their hands to receive the wafer, and sometimes the parent next to them will look a little awkward or a little apologetic as their big, clean adult hands are cupped next to their child's much more colorful hands. Now, I've been a parent to a little boy whose face and hands were sometimes covered in magic marker at the communion rail. So I remember what that feels like as a parent. But as a priest, I also get to see the child's unconscious pleasure, the earnestness, the comfortable belonging that shines out of those children at the altar rail. They know that they are loved. They know that they belong. And they come bustling right up to the altar rail, ready to be fed with Holy Communion, or ready to receive a blessing of love and care. So when I see their colorful hands, is the devotion, the play, the prayerfulness of very young souls, a beauty and a blessing in its own right. Their childish faithfulness is made all the more beautiful by the marks of the work that has been absorbing them in the morning. So whenever a child comes to the altar rail with colorful hands, I know they were busy being doers of the word, not just hearers. During church school, they were coloring or painting or gluing a project to learn something about God's love and God's story. Important, messy work. In a much more sober setting, with stakes much higher, Jesus is having a similar experience with a Pharisee, the scribes, and his own disciples. Our scripture says, when the Pharisee and the scribes gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisee and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of their elders. So the Pharisee said, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? For the Pharisee, eating with dirty hands is an insult to God and to the other members of their community, and it has serious consequences. When they see Jesus and his disciples doing is a scandal, a sacrilege, an abomination. The Pharisee feel radical disgust because in the Jewish community of Jesus' day, many rules were kept to honor God, unite the community, and maintain the community's health. And some of these rules were guidelines about the need to wash hands before eating. And some of these rules were guidelines about what food Jews could and could not eat. Some foods, like grain or vegetables, were considered clean and could be eaten. and some foods, like pork, were considered unclean and could not be eaten. And if a person ate the food that was unclean, then the person became unclean. And they became unfit to enter the temple, unfit to serve God, unfit to be in the presence of other members of the community. And Jewish tradition also said that if food was clean, but was eaten with unclean hands, the food became unclean. And then the person who ate the food also became unclean. And they were again cut off from serving God, cut off from entering the temple, cut off from being in the presence of other community members. So what sounds like an odd concern about etiquette in the 21st century is really a profound question about honoring God and loving your neighbor. For the Pharisee, the health of your neighbor, the dignity of God, depend upon everyone refusing to eat unclean food and everyone washing their hands before meals. The Pharisee are determined to chide Jesus on his bad behavior. But Jesus is even more determined to convert them away from their lethal spiritual behavior. Jesus turns around and quotes the prophet Isaiah, a giant in the Jewish community, and he throws their own tradition's wisdom back at them. Jesus says, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You abandoned the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Jesus is saying in no uncertain terms that the public display of good etiquette is way too small a goal for God. God wants more from us than cleanliness and proper rule keeping. And Jesus knows that loving and healing the world is messy work. Messy work, requiring the reclaiming of God's deepest truths about the cost and the promise of loving other people. Jesus and his disciples were busy eating with unclean Gentiles, touching and healing the sick, freeing people from demons, associating with tax collectors. In short, they were doing many of the things that the formal rules of Judaism told them not to do. But they were doing all of these things for a deeper, more powerful, primary command of God: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus and his disciples see everyone as their neighbor, so they are going to sit with everyone, eat with everyone, heal everyone who asks, invite everyone to become a part of their spiritual community. And Jesus and his disciples also know that the doing of all this sitting and eating and healing and inviting is messy work. Messy work. Radical hospitality, radical love is messy work, and Jesus literally risks getting his hands dirty for the sake of the friend and for the sake of the stranger. He doesn't position himself above the fray as some high and mighty distant king. Jesus walks right in and gets as messy as we do. He walks right in and stands beside us so we know we're not alone. So we know that we have a friend as well as a Savior to guide us. No pretense necessary, no fancy formal salutation required in our prayers. Plain need, plain talk, plain love. Bring on the mess, says Jesus. Bring on the paint, bring on the markers, bring on the glitter glue, and bring on all that the broken world can throw at us. Bring on the evil, the murder, the wickedness, the corruption, the envy, the pride, the slander, the adultery, the theft. Engaging the brokenness and the cruelty of the world has always been messy work, and it will always remain so. Jesus isn't afraid of the messiness in life. Jesus isn't afraid of the messiness in our own particular lives. Jesus will not back down or back away. He walks with us. If we want to follow Jesus, we too will be doers. We will risk engaging the world. We will be willing to get messy, even marked up a bit, to help transform the world into a more beautiful, holy, life-giving place. And we're on the cusp of our fall homecoming. So we each have a perfect chance to think about the messiness that might be required of us this year. Will it be cutting up lots and lots of fruit and cheese for coffee hour? There'll be community in the kitchen to help you get through it. Will it be helping to organize or teach the children in our church school? Maybe serving food to homeless people in Framingham. Joining a confirmation class to test and stretch your faith. Sorting through endless boxes or chairing a room for bargain hall. Will it be offering an apology you don't want to admit is needed? Or forgiving someone when you would much rather hold a grudge? Our scripture says, be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Amen.
Amen.